At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Woo!
Came this close to forgetting to unmute you guys. Because we were talking about important stuff like Spider-Man trailers.
Yeah.
But no, we were just talking about Spider-Man.
Hi, friends.
Hi.
Hello.
You know what? I think you two need to be separated.
No.
Let him do the long arm. There we go.
That's how we get the angry faces.
That is the long arm.
I like the long arm. I think it's funny.
You know, do I have to? Oh, yeah. And you guys are looking at each other, like right?
Yep.
Are we in the right areas? All right. Anyways, yes. How's everyone doing today? I am tired.
Me too.
Started school again. And
did you get your back to school picture taken with all of your information?
I did not.
Oh, maybe.
We'll or sure maybe we should complain that. Like, Lori, why didn't you get? Why didn't you take Paul's picture?
Day of school.
Was yeah. When was the first day?
It was Monday.
Oh,
I feel like I got gypped. Yesterday? That should have been like a huge Facebook post. Would have gotten lots of smiles and likes.
Paul, first day of 17th grade.
Yeah, it's 17th.
I don't know what grade you would have been. I don't know
you
how many years
have
of.
A master's.
I guess you. Yeah. Yeah.
What? It's I don't know. While. I'm just gonna be just going to school the rest of my life because you know I guess I need to know things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know anything. Isn't that funny?
Oh, you know lots of things.
You know, the more you study, the more you know, and the more you know, the more you forget. The more you forget, the less you know. So yeah, why study?
I'm pretty what? Certain that it just means. That we don't know anything. That. Don't tell our son that.
We work in education.
Yes.
You need
keep
to
on
learn.
Studying so you don't know anything.
That's how
you know what would be
works.
Good if the Bible talked about wisdom and how you could become wise.
Yeah, it says listen to the guy with the gray hair.
Join in next week.
Right.
I was going to say, I feel splendor. Like the Bible does tell you that.
Yeah, in the book of wisdom, it talks about gray hair and you should listen
the
to
the crown of splendor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
And underneath it, it says, and thou shalt not listen to the guy who has no hair.
The thing I haven't let him shave it all off. You're welcome.
Actually, there was a guy who's getting made fun of for being bald,
mm-hmm.
and he by little kids, oh. and he sicked a bunch of bears, and so the bears came out and took out the kids.
That's terrible.
And then there was a guy that could move everything with like just picking anything up, and then the girl cut his hair off, and then he couldn't do anything. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Man, hair is there's a lot.
Hair
of hair.
Is very important.
We should write
and
a book.
And then there was a prince with long hair who thought he was so awesome and was riding through the woods and got it caught in the trees.
Yeah,
and hung himself.
Died.
Well, he was.
Thanks for the uplifting story.
Yeah. Guys. Yeah, no, let's he was rebelling against the king, so the king's army came and finished the rest.
Yep.
So sorry, I touched it.
So don't rebel.
Just I don't know what it is. It doesn't like me. I don't know.
Don't touch it.
I won't touch it.
How's the feet? How are the feet?
I got a smaller boot. Where's my boot?
It's in Casey's.
Stacy, Casey.
There.
Oh, friends.
All right.
This morning, my friend goes, is that made to be worn on either foot? Because it looks like you have it on backwards. It's a
uni foot.
It really bothers me.
A uni foot cast.
What do you call it? A uni shoe?
A uni boot.
I don't know. Uni shoe.
It's an ambidextrous.
Like a sandal.
Ambidextrous.
There you go.
So, yeah. How was your first week of work? I was going to say school, but it doesn't make sense.
Swork. Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Casey.
Yeah.
He's finally employed.
Yay.
You're no longer sitting at home doing nothing, watching.
Yeah, that's totally what I did all the time.
Yeah.
Watching Star Wars or something.
Officially installed.
Yay.
I don't know. The first three times, I don't know if they... Do you agree that the... I don't know.
Ecumenical,
canonical, unaltered Augsburg confession is apology. The inspired word of God. No, those are not the actual questions.
Although my question in response to that is if there's an unaltered Augsburg confession, is there an altered?
There is.
Okay.
We won't get into that conversation here.
I just had this. To ask.
Lacey, you don't know what they're talking about?
No.
Hey.
Oh, that's questions
neither do
Why? All the questions that I asked to Casey, we talked about
in front of everybody.
That he said,
Casey knows the answers to them.
Yeah. Yep,
I wasn't listening
because I was like, those are a lot of words, and I'm so thankful I don't have to say them.
We talked about the unaltered Augsburg Confession, and yes, there is an altered Augsburg Confession, but we don't, we won't get into that history.
Who is Augsburg?
Right, Augsburg was a place. Martin Luther wrote the Augsburg Confession, which is a statement of faith
In Augsburg.
Yes, I got to remember.
At least I would hope so.
Well, I don't remember exactly, or if it was two, but I think it was in. But it was like against the Catholic beliefs, and so then they wrote back and they're like, "No, you're stupid." And then he wrote the apology to the Augsburg Confession, which is like, "No, we're not stupid."
Apologizing for it.
No, it was the defense of it, and he's like, "No, we're not stupid. You are."
Do you feel like this is modern time? Stump the pastor.
No, it's actually just explaining that the things that happened in the past also happen now, because we keep on saying each other, "Hey, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid. No, you're stupid."
It's me trying to go back to my first seminary class and remember all the history behind some of these things. I'm just crushing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yes.
All day and every day.
Online.
Yeah, for everyone to know.
All right, Stacey, how are you doing?
Doing better today.
I hope so.
I hope that I don't break down and cry like I did last week.
You can if you want.
That was very therapeutic, and thank you for being here for me while I melted down. I told Anthony earlier that I'm feeling a lot lighter today.
Just today, though.
Today, yes.
Yeah. Well, you had a very emotional post and a lot of support.
Yes, and that was part of why I feel light. That reminder that there are a lot of people that care about me, and all of us. We're in the body of believers, right? I needed that. I wasn't looking for that when I posted it, but I clearly needed that, so I'm glad that I shared.
Sometimes God provides exactly what we need we need it, that's even if we weren't expecting that we needed it.
Yep.
When you say that, I kind of want to go, and sometimes he doesn't.
Also,
I mean,
sometimes that's accurate too.
Sometimes he just tells you to be patient, wait a little bit longer,
and that's exactly
what
you
get.
And
then you die. And you go,
why? And then you get to be with Jesus.
I think that's fine.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, you look lighter.
Thank you.
I don't know what that means. Well, you don't have a heavy boot on. I think that's
That's what it
this
is.
This is a lot lighter.
Mm-hmm. Ambidextrous boot. How's your? I see you're the lack of boot.
I'm in a lack of boot because I ran out of time to reboot.
Is that a lacquer, but in Canada?
Yeah, maybe. It's like a roundabout, except it's a lack of boot.
A lack of boot with a roundabout.
Yes.
Do you guys call it rotary or roundabout?
Roundabout.
Roundabout.
Yes, I call it a rotary. Yeah.
No,
is it because I'm from New England?
Yeah. A rotary is like the old school phone.
No, that's a rotary phone. That is correct. But a rotary is also a circle.
Yeah. In your home ec class, you should like drop one of those on the table and say, "Call somebody."
I have one. Like a vintage antique.
I have one that has a face on it and it blinks when you roll it.
Really?
No, I don't.
Oh, dang it. Paul, I was all excited.
Paul!
You ruined it.
That.
No, I have learned today that we're in elementary school.
We are?
Not high school.
What?
And I'm trying to teach these children the importance of knowing how to meal prep something and to meal plan something.
They don't care.
No, they do care. And some of them, their eyes are like, "Oh, I'm absorbing all of the information that you're giving to me." And some of them I feel are like, "Miss Lacey, what are you talking about? I have no idea."
The food isn't the house elves just fix the food for us?
Yeah, I know.
Us?
So I realized I need to dial this way back to like, "Hey, this is a skillet. Hey, this is how we crack an egg." And make fun. I am not poking fun. But
there's just such a wide variety, range of
and I had
abilities.
No idea. Because cooking comes easy to me. And like I was telling Anthony.
And you like to cook with your kids.
I
so
do.
You know what your kids
And
know.
I've been doing it since I could walk for the most part. And then ran a restaurant when I was 16. And
You ran a restaurant?
Oh, yes. I ran a kitchen when I was 16 years old.
Well, you have to tell us about this kitchen. Was it McDonald's?
No, it was not. My parents owned a bar and grill.
What was it called?
The Iron Horse in Hooper, Nebraska.
I know the Iron Horse. You don't know it now.
It was great when Lacey ran the kitchen.
It really was. But, I was
16. When you were 16, you ran
the kitchen.
Did you buy jalapenos?
We had jalapenos. We made salsa from scratch. and our pizza sauce from scratch.
I just really want to say the word jalapenos.
Make burritos like no, or enchiladas like no tomorrow. I could tell you the difference between an enchilada and a chimichanga.
Chichangas.
Yes, and we made those from scratch. I can.
You know, one thing I know about restaurants is that you can't make an omelet without cracking a couple of eggs. I do know that.
Oh wow!
Unless you use the egg in a carton.
There was one time my wife made eggs with vegan eggs, and it was a powder, and you put some sort of water in it.
It were not eggs,
and it smelled like eggs. But then again, everything smells like eggs when you. I don't know what's in vegan eggs.
I don't want to know what's in vegan eggs.
Flaxseed.
It's not flaxseed, and it definitely needed jalapenos.
Yeah. So, anyways,
on a stick.
So my expectations of what you can do in the kitchen are up here, and most elementary students are like, I'm only allowed to use a butter knife. So I really
So you do all grades?
6th through 8th.
Oh, but my daughter has no idea what you're talking about.
She's not in my class. She did not elect for home ec.
Oh.
Yeah.
I get to do a class in October, I think.
So
you get to teach one?
Financials?
Well, something.
Okay.
I'm still very excited about it though. We're making breakfast sandwiches on Thursday, but
you do Thursdays? I get told I had to do
that's
Fridays.
That's a good thing.
I
know how to
Tuesdays
to
and
make.
Thursdays.
They could make their breakfast.
You get 2 days a week?
Yes.
I only get 1 day.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm not special.
I don't know. I can't help you with
She's
that.
Been
Jesus
in school
is special.
Longer.
All right. It should we read a story?
We probably should.
Can read a letter.
How about
read
it
part
be
of
story
a letter.
Time.
Oh, we got a comment.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
We're right on top of it. Oh, it's just a heart.
Oh, okay.
They love our conversation.
Who hearted us?
Jessica Harden.
There you go.
Yeah. Hi. Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
We love you too.
I have your child in my class. I'm hopeful. We'll teach them all kinds of things. I don't know which Jessica. I don't know if there's... I don't know all these kids as parents. I know some of them. Just going to stop talking because I'm going to dig myself
Let's read
into
a letter.
A hole. I don't know how I do it. I just do.
So Ephesians.
Ephesians.
Ephesians 4, verse 17, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ this way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
It's really hard to listen to you and read because we had two different versions.
You know, I use the NIV.
Yep. And I do
1984.
My ESV is
It is
so
the,
big
that
and
is 1984.
Oh, let's not go down that path again. Anyways.
Casey, that was the evil laugh.
Is it really different?
Because it's so fun to be a Theo nerd, but then I realize only Pastor and I are the Theo nerds in this bunch.
It's enough to go, where are you now? You know.
Were you asking between ESV and NIV? Yeah. Or I thought you were asking between 84 and 211, but...
He said he had.
Well, no, it's just that you're reading it and you're like, okay, where does she go now?
Yeah.
I will try and remember to bring my bigger ESV.
No, I just... Or I could just bring up the NIV on here, but it will be different too, maybe.
Slightly, but... We don't have to get into that.
You know what? Let's just get out of this conversation.
There you go.
Let's go on to
Ephesians. What did I just say? Read?
What you just read.
Yeah.
So, Gerber.
Yep.
You just tell us what it means and we'll go home.
I did. I spent 18 minutes telling you what it means.
All right. Well, go find the podcast and then we'll go home. See
there
you
guys
go. Later. All right. Bye.
Bye. And Oh, wait.
Yeah. So, what does it mean to you?
I know there's a lot in there that has to do with more in depth, but my favorite line is the be kind to others because I'm just that person. I have this little keychain on my backpack that says just be a good human. And I feel that way. I'm like, just, it boils down to just be, you know, be good to one another. Because if you're crummy to one another all the time, that is a miserable life to live.
Yes. Because but it's not just, it doesn't just boil down to be kind to one another. And that's what
in
I like the
head,
way.
It does.
Yes, but not in Jesus's head.
That's because we're two different heads, because his head is holier than mine. And righteous, more righteous than mine. I'll just stop here too.
Wow. More writer.
I don't guess
that. So what I like about this section, and Paul does this a lot, is he gives us the indicative before the imperative.
Paul the apostle.
The apostle, not Paul the Paquette.
Which means package.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little package.
That's a whole nother.
So I'm gonna go home now. But Paul solidifies us in our identity, which then gives us the ability to go do the stuff.
To be nice.
To be kind. Yeah. But it starts with what Jesus does. It starts with what God does for us.
Right.
So I don't want to, like, and I know you know that, but I want to make sure when we're saying, like, oh, it all boils down to just be kind.
And for you, Lacey.
For you.
You are secure in your identity.
Yes.
Yes.
As a child of God.
Yes. Yes.
So for you to live out your identity is...
It does just boil down to
be kind.
Yep.
Yes.
This
yep.
is the...
But to somebody yep. that... Yeah, I see that.
So it's
I
not...
see how
yes.
that could be like, no, Lacey, shh, that's not...
Right.
You're, I get
it's
it.
Jesus. Okay, now be kind.
Right. My brain just behave. Works differently than everybody else's. That's
Jessica
really...
said that verse 26 is great.
What is verse 26?
It's
in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're yep. still angry.
You know what's funny about that? Because I'm a nerd, but when I see that, I think of Elton John's Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, and then Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. I know you guys are probably going, what? So I hear that song in my head. Don't look back in anger. I heard her say.
I had a conversation, it was last week, with two co-workers in morning devotions about do not let the sun go down in your anger. And we, all three of us, were like, that was one thing that all of our parents or grandparents had told us, never go to bed angry, you know, because you don't get restful sleep. You don't feel good about it. So it was just one of those, that was the first thing that we all three thought of is, you know, no, I've been married X amount of years, you know, I'm not going to go to bed angry at my husband because you don't know if you'll wake up tomorrow morning, you know, or whatever. But.
And that doesn't mean that we've got to solve all of our differences before we can go to sleep.
Yes.
It just means, all right, we have different ideas about how we want to move forward. I know that your idea isn't out of spite of me.
Yes.
So let's put this aside. Let's be husband and wife or friends or even enemies. Because, right, yeah. This is not just talking about don't be angry with your wife. This is saying don't be angry with anyone, with your neighbor.
What's interesting, right after that, it says, and give no opportunity to the devil.
Yep.
Right after that.
Because how many of you, when you go to sleep and then you wake up at 2 a.m. because you're angry and you haven't slept well, you spend the next 2 hours getting even more angry and grumbling more about that person because now they just woke you up from your sleep too.
Mm-hmm. Or you wake up thinking about something that you said to someone and you knew it was not the right time to say that. And then you're like, oh shoot, I bet this hurt this person's feelings, or oh shoot, now I'm overthinking this.
When you're in the middle of overthinking that, you should call them at 3 a.m. and tell them that you're sorry.
Sometimes about 10 minutes later after the situation, I send a text. I'm like, oh, that was not how that was supposed to go. But I can't do that at 3 a.m.
Sure, make sure you can. Yeah.
Some people turn their phone off at night.
I do turn my phone off at night.
So if you send
so
it,
I won't text you guys.
You don't get it anyways.
I wouldn't.
This is true. Even when it's on, you don't get it. I turn my do not disturb on. So I still get phone calls because I kind of have to be available for phone calls. But if you're texting me in an emergency at 2 a.m, call me.
When was the last time you went to bed angry though? Like that kind of angry? Because I'm trying to think back. There was one time before Lori and I got married, I got mad at her, not because of anything she did, but in a dream. I was like, you went out with this person and how dare you go out with that person? She's like, what are you talking about?
I've done that before too.
Yep. The wake up and get smacked. Yes. Like, wait, what happened? You were making goo-goo eyes at this person in my dream.
I'm sorry,
my sister-in-law.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Oh. I murdered my wife with a moose, so that I could marry my sister-in-law. I forgot
how
about
do
that
you
one.
Murder somebody?
And you woke up angry and mad at him.
Yes, I. I sent a herd of meese over my wife.
It was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Oh, that's
funny. Thank you for reviving that memory.
That's hilarious.
That is very funny.
I think we need to write a t-shirt.
In your anger, do not command a herd of meese over your wife.
Ephesians 4:26.
Thanks, Jessica, for bringing that
Gerber
up.
Version. GSV. Gerber Standard Version.
Well, it would be Stacy, though, because she's the one that...
SSV.
We were married at that time, weren't we?
We were married, but those two weren't. No.
That's funny.
That's because, you know, googly eyes.
Yeah.
And bees.
Mooses. The plural. It's weird to me that the plural is the same as the singular, so I often call them meese.
Do you think they just got lazy and said, you know what? It's fine. Just
it's fine.
It's 12 moose.
No, when you look at one moose, it's like they're 12 mooses anyway, so we'll just call them all the same thing.
Moose. Are very large.
So have you ever gone to bed angry?
It's been a while. It's been 2 or 3 years, but yeah, it's never been at Tara. It was more other situations and other people, and I didn't know how, and I've known this verse most of my life, but it was one of those growing moments. It kind of hit me upside the head one day. It's like, okay, that whole going to bed angry thing, yeah, you're doing it, and you're not sleeping well, and you're automatically thinking worse of the person the next day. It was almost like the attitude I went to bed with was the one I woke up with,
yeah.
And it just colored the next part of the first part of the next day just completely wrong. But yeah, I can definitely say I have.
Does anybody here hold on to grudges longer than 5 minutes?
Yes,
sometimes.
I don't know what it is.
It depends.
She like leans in. Yes.
Wow, Stacey.
You asked.
I mean, what is your do you ever like think about how long you hold on? You know, grudges are just one of those things that I guess is. I'm looking at you two men here. Do you guys hold on to grudges longer than 5 minutes?
I will at times.
Okay,
it depends.
I guess I'm the only one who's just like whatever. No, I mean, be honest with you. There's a lot of times I just go whatever.
I would say 98% of the time, it rolls off pretty quickly. But the one that will get me holding on to something is repeated patterns of behavior.
So you're really mad at Disney right now?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, that's my grudge.
Yep.
The House of Mouse is getting me.
Just kidding.
Oh, I'm like, did I miss? I don't turn the news on, so I'm like, did I miss something?
They're just killing. They're killing Star Wars. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh, that's a different conversation.
Yeah. That's a horse of a different color.
So yeah, I mean, isn't that the same thing as going to bed angry?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to clarify, I don't hold grudges frequently and for a lot of reasons. Like, this is not something I regularly do. You're looking at me like
I just was. Okay. No.
In a lot of instances, I do allow things to roll off, and not roll off, but I forgive, I move on, I let God work in that. But
think,
there are times when I feel particularly hurt or whatever that takes a lot longer to.
I appreciate my counselor in this, because my tendency is to let things spiral, mm-hmm. And then get deeper and deeper into frustration. And
that's what I do really well too.
Yeah. One of his comments to me, one of the last times we met, and he said one of his COVID findings, like one of the conversations that he's really kind of thinking through and realizing as he's meeting with people again now, is that he thinks we probably spend, and he's just making this number up, 90 to 95% of our time worrying about things that we have no control over. Mm-hmm. And that's where mine more is it's less of a, like, I'm mad at you, and more of a, how am I going to respond to this possible situation when I have this conversation? Really, since then, I've really been able to better just say, well, I guess I'll deal with that tomorrow, or I'm not going to spiral, because it's not beneficial.
Yeah.
So that's been very helpful for me.
I do find that I don't really hold grudges of other people. I will hold a grudge of myself and go, I could have said that different, or I could have handled this situation differently. I should have never blew up at that person or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it usually has to do with some sort of short fuse that I might've had, as sort of, you know, regardless of who it is. But I will have a grudge towards myself on that and hold that. And sometimes I go to bed angry at myself.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time I went to bed angry towards someone else, though. But then again, I haven't had anything really personally attacked before, like, in a long, long time, you know, that kind of attack. So, all right. Next question. In the beginning of it, it talks about don't be like the Gentiles. What is today's version of the Gentiles, since we're kind of all Gentiles?
Well, so this is really, you know, Gentiles, they just did whatever they wanted. They had lots of different gods. They had lots of different practices, which we'll get to like in chapter 5, verses 3 to 5 this coming week. But like, they just followed their own feelings. They did what was best for them. They lived for themselves.
So that makes it sound like the secular world.
Yeah. So in this instance, it's really talking about a lot of times Jews and Gentiles. I mean, Gentiles in general are just non-Jewish people. But a lot of times Paul will use them as kind of the old, when he's talking about like past. It's those who are not in the body of Christ, who are outside that body.
Those who don't walk with Jesus.
Yes.
Because at this point, some of the Gentiles.
Right. Some of the Gentiles are walking with Jesus. Yes. But here he's talking about the former way of life before you knew Jesus, the Gentile way of life.
Well, and I was thinking, you know, kind of along those lines, tying back the anger conversation, the one that little bit of scripture where it talks about anger, the part that stuck out to me more was the half verse before that is, in your anger, do not sin. And these, you know, these clever phones we have in our hand, I think has made it so easy. You know, it seems like a lot of our sinning, you know, the second world tricks us to, you know, when you're angry, you can text right away.
Oh, yeah.
You can crap post someone on Facebook or whatever your social media of choice is, and just make just make them look, you know, you can vent because there's very little, you know,
thought into it.
Yeah, because it takes next to no time to grab your phone.
Well, and it takes all the personalization. Yep. Is that the word? Like the
interpersonal connections.
Yes.
Yeah,
you know, you don't get to see that. You don't have to see their face.
Right. Yeah. You know, say you and I spat off about Star Wars. I think this is the best movie. You think that's the best movie, but we disagree. Mm-hmm. Well, Casey's a loser because he doesn't like
right, so.
This movie. Da 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 da.
Casey likes Jar Jar Binks. I think we decided that in a previous podcast, and it's on the internet, so it has to be true.
Yeah, I vehemently deny these claims.
But that's what it is, you know. And I think that's what affects a lot of youth too, and gives them social emotional struggles because, okay, well, Tina and Tanya are friends today. Well, they fought over something dumb. Well, now Tanya went home and...
But because of their friendship, Tina's got dirt on Tanya and she just spilled it all on the internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
I know Paul's got no clue what's going on, but
it takes, unlike, you know, a previous time where this didn't exist, it took more, there were more steps to take before acting out on your anger.
Yes.
Now it's just picking up your phone and pressing a few buttons and 30 seconds later, you know, you've got something that you can't take back.
And that's exactly it. You can't, once it's out there, it's...
So I'm wondering then, as you're having this conversation, is it easier to take out your anger, or is it more difficult to take it back now? Because I think...
Okay. What? Say that again.
So, like, I mean, before phones were attached to our hands, I mean, people could still take it out, you know, take their anger out, my anger out on Casey. I could tell Stacy all that you did real quickly, which is still sinful. I mean, but now I can post it to where I've now blasted it out there. Audience, I've got a bigger audience. But at the same time, it's still the both of them, I'm sinning in my anger. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's easier to sin in your anger today than it was 2,000 years ago. I just think it's easier to do it bigger.
Yes. That's okay. Closer to what I
said. So what was the question you asked? Because the other part of that question...
Well, that was kind of, is it easier to just do it more publicly? It's harder to take it back because, like, if I'm angry at Casey and I talk to Stacy and tell her how angry I am and what a pooey head he is.
Technical terms.
Yeah, technical terms.
Hold on.
Thank you. I can then 10 minutes later calm down and go to Stacy and be like, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. That was, and then I can go to Casey and ask him for forgiveness. And now we've all moved past that.
Yeah.
Once I do it bigger, now that I've put it on the internet about,
which is an interesting point, because even at the end of around 31 or whatever, the bitterness and letting it, and forgiveness is still a part of this.
Yeah.
Because even if you do it bigger, go big, go home. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The forgiveness is still there, you would hope, regardless.
Can be, yeah. Can well, it be, should but- be. No, it should be. Like, no matter if I just tell Stacy or if I tell the whole world, I mean, really, Casey, your response should be forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. I think the bigger...
Reconciliation is much more difficult. You're going to be much less likely to say, oh, okay, well, now let me tell you this other deep, dark secret in my life or whatever. I need a reconciliation.
But
that does...
People...
it just doesn't flow.
But
like if I will change this a little bit, like if I told Stacy, you know, you told me a secret, I told Stacy, you can forgive that easily, and we can, but if I put that out on Facebook, you can still forgive that, but the reconciliation is gonna be a lot more difficult. Yeah. Because you're not gonna be like, oh, okay, well, since you said I'm sorry, here, let me tell you this other secret that I haven't told anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you mm-hmm. blasted it across the Twitterverse.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've not only hurt Casey, but maybe family members and friends of Casey's, because, you know, what a terrible thing to say about somebody. You know, there was this, I can't remember where I saw it or what it was for, but someone had taken a tube of toothpaste and squeezed it out onto a plate.
I've done this with youth groups before.
And we're like, okay, these are all the negative things you said about somebody. Now put it back in the tube. And you can't. Once you squirt that toothpaste out, once you throw that negative comment or fight out there, you can't take that back. You mm-hmm. may be able to, you know, find forgiveness, but that reconciliation may mm-hmm. not happen.
True.
Well, and I think that's exactly why these verses are in here, is, you know, talking about wisdom. Yeah, this is one of the things Paul is talking about that creates division, that's unnecessary if you just take a few minutes, you know, breathe in, breathe out, calm your angry intentions, and realize that, you know, reconciliation is a lot harder the bigger the blow up is. Mm-hmm. So wisdom.
So like the main point that they were going through, well, you kind of brought it up, was the changing of your old self to,
you gotta, yeah. So in baptism, in this faith that you've been given by the Spirit, we are made new. We're made into new people. But then, because we're still in a broken sin world, that old Adam, that old person in us still tries to cling to us and pull us backwards. And so every day we have to just, and really every 5 minutes, have to push that behind us and look forward to the new life that Jesus has called us. And so, you know, that's really what verses 25 through the end of the chapter are, you know, Paul giving us examples of, this is what it looks like to live in the way that Jesus has called you to live. Just don't pick any one of those phrases, and that's not the way the Gentiles live. Now, were there people, and again, to kind of go back to, you know, just be kind. Were there people who were kind that weren't followers of Jesus? Yes, there were. So can you, that's why I wanted to make sure we clarified, yes. Can you fill out this list and do this for the most part in your life without Jesus? Mm-hmm. Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it.
You can try hard and
you can try real hard
things on some.
But this isn't, Paul's not saying this is what saves you. Mm-hmm. Paul is saying, now that you are this new person, this is the best way to live. And so, you know, other non-Christians can live a great, kind, loving life, but that's not what saves them. What saves them is what the Spirit has done in their life. And then they get to live this freely.
So we all just nod our heads at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
this is most certainly true.
Yes.
I'm looking at verse.
You have spoken truth.
Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And I think that's the difference there, is even when I'm not walking with God and I am trying to be kind and do good, my motivation is probably mostly selfish, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm caring about
others. You want to look good in front of other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that deceitful desire, I am doing more to care for other people, and I'm doing this and improving who I am.
You want those Girl Scout patches, yeah. Basically.
And not saying that that's everybody's motivation, but that's, I think, the heart of it. And that when we are made new in Christ, we recognize that we can't do any of this without that selfish motivation, unless Christ is motivating us. I don't know how to better explain.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is that the reasons why we are trying to live a better life is not because of our view of other people's view of us, but because of our, Christ's love for us.
Right.
And we're doing it because he died for us. So therefore, it is more of a pure reasoning than going, well, because I want my neighbor to think that I'm the bee's knees, yes, and invite me to all the parties.
And have the better grass. Didn't we have this conversation?
No, that's different.
Oh, okay.
But But even
just saying, I'm like, didn't we have this conversation about our neighbor's yard?
Our own grass.
Yeah, just speak truth. Just speak truth about your neighbor, though.
But even like it's even deeper than that. It's like because there are, again, there are going to be non-Christians who can do it because, you know what? I think other people are important too. And so it's not, again, it's not about just, well, we've got a different motivation, but because Jesus has redeemed us, he's also redeemed our works. And so, you know, one of the few Greek words
are hard. Yeah.
That y'all know, is what Paul calls our works of those who aren't Christian. Y'all know it. You learned it New Year's Eve.
I did.
Yeah.
What?
Scubala or Scubala, however you want to pronounce it. Oh. It's the one time that Paul swears in the Bible. It
just is. How will you spell that?
It's just written in the Bible as rubbish. Like, that's what our works are. That's what God sees. Even our greatest accomplishments, that's how God sees that without Jesus.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing pleasing that we can do on our own. It's only pleasing because Jesus has redeemed it. Because even our good works done on our own without Jesus are still done in sin.
Because of black otters?
Sure. Well, salt and pepper black otters.
Well, and the worldly view of how you get to what we'll say is heaven is, you know, my good outweighs my bad. That if there is a God out there, he's keeping this cosmic scale of goodness, and I'm weighed against it. So if I'm a good human to a bunch of people and only like a mean human to a handful, I'm doing pretty good. But what I mean, God's justice is, you know, without Jesus, is one sin makes you guilty. You know, mm-hmm. you only have to murder one person to be a murderer. You sin once, you are now a sinner. So now everything is colored by our guilt if Jesus is not there. That's what separates Christians from non-Christians when it comes to good works. Is it's not the works themselves that save us or, you know, outweigh our bad. It's Jesus's good covers all of what we do.
And because we're born sinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Therefore, yeah. It's not even, I sinned, I'm a sinner. It's
you just are.
I have the curse of Adam on me. And that's
so therefore
I'm separated from God.
Therefore,
without a blood payment, which Jesus shed on the cross.
The end.
Thanks, Jesus.
Yeah, but my
appreciate it.
My brain is thinking that differently, but I'll just be quiet.
No, what is your brain saying?
I have a hard time saying, and I know it is true. I know it is true that we are born sinners because you're looking at this teeny tiny newborn little infant
that just screams at you and says, "Give me what I want right now, or else I'm going to keep screaming."
You're thrilled that child is screaming and is breathing,
but still selfish.
It's selfish to me to not want to call that child a sinner. The baby has done nothing except
seem fair.
Yes, and that's what I'm like. That's
that's
one of those things I just have to say, okay, yep.
I know.
And move on.
I'm just, in case somebody out there is thinking, hey, you know what? That's a really hard thing to say to a
baby. Well, I don't hey, look.
It's a little sinner.
I mean, I might to some, but.
In your baptismal speech, you kind of do.
But I see how
a little so-and-so here's sin. He's sinful. He's a sinner.
Okay, that's what Jesus
says. I know, but I'm just saying,
you don't call us. Yes, you do.
When they're born. Like, hey, sinner, how's it going? Welcome to this world.
I'm just throwing it out there.
You're destined for hell.
So happy to meet you, sinner.
But do you see what I'm saying? Or
I think it's...
It seems awkward, I guess. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's more what it is. I don't know.
And in our culture, we don't call children, don't call names.
Yes.
We want to build them up and encourage them. And to call a baby a sinner seems very
negative. In my mom brain, that says, that's not right.
See, to me, it's not much different than saying that I'm a good person because of the works I do. And it's the same mentality. Kids are born non-sinners, therefore I do the works because of the work I do, and that's why I'm a good person. It takes Jesus completely out of it. It takes all that out of the picture.
But it doesn't sound bad when it's for an adult. But
it's because it's uncomfortable to call a kid a sinner. Well,
as adults, we can see.
I'm like, clearly. Whatever.
There's all kinds of stuff that's clearly uncomfortable to say.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Like exopotter, black otter.
I Harry Potter. What?
What's the word?
Salt and pepper, black.
No, otter. I know. Simul
Eustace et Picotter.
Simul. Like Sybil Shepherd?
Nope, like simultaneously. Simul. S-I-M-U-L. Okay. Simul. Eustace, like justice.
Eustace.
Et. Picotter.
Picotter.
There it is. What now did, put it all together.
No, say it again.
Here, we'll try this. Simul. Eustace. Et. Picotter. Picotter. Simul Eustace et Picotter. Salt and pepper, black otter. Yep, got it.
Like a true friends fan. Yeah,
like that, yep.
So that means simultaneously sin and sinner.
Saint and sinner, yes.
Saint. What did I say?
I think you said sin and sinner. That's what I heard, but...
You probably was correct. I am...
You are at the same time a saint and sinner. You are justified as the Spirit has worked faith in your life. As you have put on the new man, as the Spirit has clothed you with Jesus, which Paul talks in Galatians 3, that as you have been baptized, you have put on Christ, you have been clothed with Christ. So you have been made right before God. So when God looks at you, he sees perfection. He sees Jesus. And at the same time, you still sin daily. So you are a saint in the eyes of God, and you're also still a sinner. And so that's this justification, sanctification. You've been justified, you've been made right before God, and you have a lot of work to do. And so the Spirit is working in you to draw you closer to the person that God has called you to be and made you to be, drawing you closer to his will. And that's a lot about what we talked about with baby steps. Like it's not just, yep, I'm saved. For some people, the Spirit works miraculously in their lives, and when the Spirit works, they are a new person. I mean, we see that in people, that the Spirit works and they are, you would not recognize them from day one or from an hour before to now. You just would not recognize them. But even that, they're not now this perfect person. There's still growth that will happen or should happen. And that will continue until Jesus calls us home. So we're at the same time a saint and a sinner. As the Spirit has worked faith in our lives, we are Eustace and Picotters.
Eustace,
yeah.
Et Picotter.
Yeah.
I have to go very slow. I have to think of it.
Yeah, Simul Eustace et Picotter.
I can't say it fast.
So what does that actually look like? Does that mean we just stop? I mean, in an everyday thing, I mean, it affects what you watch on TV, what you read,
yep,
how you talk to individuals,
yep,
all those things.
Everything. And what it doesn't mean is, well, I'm a saint, I'm made right in the eyes of God, and I'm a sinner, so I'm just going to keep doing whatever I want to do because I've been made right in the eyes of God, and I'll just keep being a sinner. Woohoo! What it means is I'm a saint. I've been made right in the eyes of God, and I'm still a sinner, and I'm going to see what I can do today. How the Spirit can work in me today to make me a little bit less of a sinner today and the next day and the next day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the attitude of, you know, since I'm saved, I can do whatever in the world I want is putting you at the center of the story again, which is what we do. We're sinful, but our changed life it's motivated by many things, but one of them is realizing without Jesus stepping in, my destination was hell after I die. Like, mm-hmm. like part of it, our good works is a way of saying thank you to God. Like, you know, like I will be in eternal happiness because of you saving my sorry behind. This is my way of thanking you. And when God is the center of it, it colors everything different versus me being the center. But of course, my et picotter side comes out and I like put myself at the center sometimes.
Et picotter. I'm still
gonna throw it out there to all Trinity students that come up to Miss Lacey anytime during the year and can say what?
Salt and pepper.
Simul Eustace et Picotter.
Boom.
You can say that to me. I will give you. I don't
snoot
have
snacks.
Any. Ooh, I could totally do snoot snacks.
Snoot snacks. I'm gonna walk up to you every day, Lacey.
I don't have any in the library right now.
There are a whole bunch in the Sunday school room.
Too. Okay, I'll just have to start and the youth my room pockets.
Slash my office
and my office.
I don't even know what snoot snacks are.
Fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks. Oh, fruit snacks.
That's what Samantha used to call fruit snacks when she was little.
Snoots?
I had some snoot snacks, Mom.
That's awesome. So I'm going to use this opportunity to talk about, because, you know, we had the Salt and Pepper Black Otter and we decided that we were going to make t-shirts.
Yep.
And I have a little bit of a sneak peek, but we're going to have one of our Trinity. Well, we're going to talk about having one of our Trinity members kind of print them out. Hopefully, maybe yep. We'll see. And so there might be t-shirts in the future that anybody who wants to support the show can.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to show it, but
you want
to
see it?
Well, you looked like you were starting to. I don't
that's
know.
What I thought too. And I was like,
oh, yeah. Bam.
Forgiveness.
Salt and Pepper Black Otter.
Salt and Pepper Black Otter.
What do you guys think?
What, as you guys are watching, what color? Look, on the right, you've got all those colors, or on the, I guess on the left too, there are a bunch of colors.
I think they're the same.
I like the traffic stop orange. Like, let's go for that.
But what colors do you like of these shirts?
Yeah, there we go.
No.
That's
the color of the youth room right there now.
Yes, my office now is into my brain.
Do you see spots throughout the day? Because I feel like staring at that orange wall, then looking to the side.
So there's Salt and Pepper Black Otter. Here's the deal, though. We do, if you get one of these shirts, which we'll figure out how we're going to do that, we do want this to be a conversation piece. So we want you to be able to understand and explain what this means. And again, Salt and Pepper Black Otter is just the Lacyism of simul justus et peccator, meaning that we are at the same time saints and sinners. There you go.
I'm sure everybody will remember that one.
Yep. And if not, it's on the internet. Come back and find it.
That's really what I thought.
Random comes up to you on the street. What does your shirt mean?
Yeah.
I'm simultaneously a saint and a sinner. You want to hear about it?
Yeah. That's all you're going to do.
Yep.
And what's going to happen now that you promised like fruit snacks is that some random person who listens to our podcast that you don't know is going to see you on the street and go, simul justus et peccator.
And be like, boom. Oh,
and you'll be like,
but here's 50 cents.
Go buy yourself some fruit snacks.
Go out and buy us.
You know what? I don't have any money. I guess I could Venmo you.
Venmo you 50 cents.
Yep. Wow. That's what I was there for.
One of our 20, I don't know. I love her to death. I think she's, I don't know.
And we're
she's
also
younger than your wife, but they had to teach me how to Venmo last year. I know. She's like, I did something for her. And she's like, Lacey, do you take Venmo? And I'm like, it's Venmo. And she's like, oh, here. So she sets it up and sticks her phone on top of my phone. She goes, here, I just sent you your money. I'm like, what?
Where?
This is magic. Where?
What is this sorcery?
Magic beans? You know? I know money.
We can do little podcast in the back.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Ooh, golf tournament's coming up. And if you don't have cash for the holes, I'll take Venmo and give it to the school. So there we go. So there's no reason you can't chip in for the children.
Wait a minute. There's a golf tournament?
Yeah.
Paul,
Sunday.
You get to play golf.
I'm Paul the worst Casey, golfer
you're on,
ever.
You're playing, right?
Yeah.
We're on the team that's going for Lacey's the worst husband. Team.
Yep. I've
never swung a golf club in my life. And that's not an exaggeration. And I thought I'd get some
play
practice.
Mini golf.
Yeah, but you don't swing for that.
Casey, what are you doing tomorrow?
Do I want to be in front of him or behind?
I got chapel at 2:30. But
we might have to have some staff fonding tomorrow morning.
Oh, God.
Top golf in Omaha.
It's just for fun.
I hope so, because this is going to be the funniest thing you're ever going to see.
Bonding and conversations.
Whoever's putting together the holes, can we golf near them so we can watch?
So we can watch.
Yeah. Also, I found out if I hit a car, it's my fault.
No, Raylan doesn't know what she's talking about.
I don't want.
Oh, she listens to this. Be nice.
And that's why I said it.
I don't want to.
It'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Everything's fine.
Everything is awesome.
You'd have to work real hard to hit a car.
I had to work real hard to hit a ball.
You get a golf cart.
I just remembered about a grudge that I held last year in the golf tournament.
Dude, you almost hit me with your pink ball last year.
Yeah, it's my pink ball.
Yeah.
What did I do?
I hit my drive really far. Yeah.
In the wrong direction.
No,
I made a bad.
I like bombed
she crushed it.
It was my best drive ever. And he goes, good job, honey. But that lady behind us wins them every time. So.
She does.
Can you just say good job?
Good job, honey.
And it was at that
got to write my name.
I know.
On it.
I was. I went. Oh,
I think
shoot.
That lady and behind it was at us that overheard, and then she hit a weak one, so I won.
It was
I
at got
love, a hat from Matt.
I love you. You are the most wonderful person in the world. Yeah, it was like, it went from a great day to, boy, it got cold out here real quick, didn't it?
It was that very night that Stacy dreamt about the moose.
No. That was years before.
Don't let any unwholesome talk night. Come out of your mouth.
Yep. It was very unwholesome.
Well, I apologize. I guess that is our announcement time because, you know, sorry. We've already done it.
We know how, so we already know what the worst team taking the golf course will be.
Yes.
Yeah. So our we team. Got the, so golf, but that's full.
There's a wait list.
There's a wait list. So
we got in.
You got in. Yep.
Oh, we should have waited, man.
I know.
Oh, shucks. It's full.
If you want to back out, you can, but then you got to work the holes.
Hey, wait a minute. Now we all want to. Just because I'm saying that doesn't mean I want to back out. I just want to make sure that I complain thoroughly.
You will complain thoroughly, and I'll be working whatever.
And I want to make sure you hear me.
Golf spot I'm placed at.
Yeah.
But I also.
The whole point of.
And it's for the children.
It's for the children.
$20.
That's what you say. It's for the children. For the children.
Because I don't know what the information says. I don't understand it because I don't golf. So I read the card and I'm like, well, for $20, you're going to move up three spots. They're like, okay, so here's $20.
I'm going to need a lot of money. Huh?
Yeah. No, I'll take Venmo.
Well, if you're going for your score.
Yep. All right. So
there you go.
Golf. Yep.
You should do it.
If you're either already signed up or you're not, join us on Sunday.
Or donate a prize.
Also, I would encourage, especially because one of the big reasons that we started the podcast was really to encourage families to start having faith conversations in the homes. This week we started at Trinity. We started Family Sunday School. We also have confirmation that's kicking off. But I'd really encourage you, if you're still on the fence of how do I have these conversations in my home, to try out Family Sunday School.
Casey's in charge of Family Sunday School.
Casey's
now,
in charge, so which means awesome. Who's not in charge anymore?
I'm not in charge anymore.
Ask a question because it affects maybe two of us?
A couple families. Mm-hmm.
If you have a child in confirmation and you have a younger child that wants to go to Sunday school and the two parents don't want to separate because we should be at confirmation, how would that child attend Sunday school?
Oh, very carefully.
Can they have like a family that adopts them what happened to sit this with last them?
Week. If you can't afford a human cloning process, then
one will be provided.
Then one will be provided for you.
There are usually extra teachers too that will sit at a table with kids.
So that works for families. I'm just going to say this and be real blunt, but I'm maybe overstepping because I'm not in charge of this. Mm-hmm. That works for families who have kids in confirmation, not for families who would like to go grocery shopping during that time.
What about if they're like worship, you know,
practice? I'll allow it.
All right, you allow it.
Yeah.
Because that's Callan last week.
Yeah.
His mom was
worship
leading. He was adopted by another family in there.
And, well, sometimes Hudson likes to sit in confirmation and sometimes he doesn't. So,
But I just encourage you. I got nothing to do with it. I just think it's awesome. And I know our teachers put a lot of effort and time into being prepared and ready to go. And so, but again, the reason I say this is because a lot of us struggle with how do I start having these conversations with my kids?
That's one of the biggest things I hear from high school parents. Seriously.
Yep. And we give that to you because we're like, oh, look, here's faith stuff. Talk about it at your table. Oh, look, you're doing a craft together. Here's how that connects with faith.
You're all hearing the same thing. So then you can continue the conversation.
Yep.
And afterwards.
Hey, we talked about this today.
It may feel awkward, but you can work through it. Mm-hmm.
But anything.
Stick with it.
Anything like on Sunday, when I take my first swing of a golf club, it will be incredibly awkward the first time I do it. Mm-hmm. But
it will be awkward every time you do it.
Well, yeah, I live an awkward life.
Yeah. But not as awkward as calling a baby sinner, but.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't say I did that. That's what
happened. Finger pointing. We're great at it. But anytime you do something that is new to you, it automatically feels awkward. But as we like to say on the podcast, embrace the awkward.
Yep.
That is
a t-shirt.
That's Casey's t-shirt.
Yeah. Embrace the awkward because that one each step closer makes it easier. But also, I cannot tell you how much it will impact your kid's life. The fact that those conversations, even though the first 1, 2, 10, 15 opportunities might be awkward as you start out, once those faith conversations become more natural, it's life changing for parents. But the most impactful part it's going to have is changing your kid's life, where talking about Jesus is like talking about their favorite cartoon or their favorite sports team. It, when you see that change start to happen, it is amazing.
Yep. All right, should I close with?
We have a couple comments. Okay. And then we can close in prayer. How about that?
There you go. I was going to read a Bible verse to close us together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Well, so Susan Riddle, she said, a friend of mine asked about sanctification and justification, and hearing what was said makes it more clear. I'm glad we could help you out.
So one thing, Susan, one thing just to think of with justification, a great way to remember that is just as if I'd never sinned. I've been justified. When God looks at me, it's just as if I'd never sinned.
Yep. Okay. And then Erin, she said that she enjoyed Sunday school with the family and went the first time.
Yay! Woo!
Yeah.
It was good to see you, though.
Yes, it was.
And then the last comment, Paul rocks.
Oh, there it is. Yep. Thanks for putting that one in there. Let's close with Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So it's not me that's saying it. It's the Lord our God speaking through David. Mm-hmm. The babies are sinful. Sorry. I just like to prove my point at the end.
No, because King David already did.
Right. You don't have to. You can just
it's in the Bible.
Read God's word.
Let me read a verse to your baby.
So, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about that. But
no, I get it. I just
there's truth and then there's tact.
Yes,
there's truth and there's tact. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you have justified us, that you have given us faith, and we pray for all those who don't have faith, that you would, whether it's using us or using those around us, to bring to speak words of truth, so that they might look to you and do that with tact, so that they might look to you as their Savior and put off their old self and put on a new self, put on, be clothed with you. I just pray as we go throughout our weeks that you'd give us different opportunities to be kind to one another, to live out all of these things that you have called us to live, and especially to pass on our faith in our homes, in our families, and into our communities. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
The next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.